Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is Three and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better. And everybody, do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. And we can dance. Oh, we can go when we want to, night is young and so am I. And we can dress real neat from our hearts to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry.
Welcome into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. It's a Football Friday edition of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit
Union.
Are you excited?
Yeah, I am.
I'm Nate Hodges. That's Houston Kress. We got Davey Hudson and Billy Wolf. All ready to draw SEC helmets.
But easy. Can we not start there?
In hour three.
Thank you. Mercy sakes, Hodges.
After what happened to you last week, I just figured throwing that out there immediately would really get you riled up.
Get
you
going this morning. It did.
Get you on edge.
I've already had the recap of my questionnaire.
Yeah.
This morning.
It's true.
Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to not relive that moment, and then you guys just got to dump it right in my lap, Nate. We were at least talking about a question I got right. There's that.
That is true.
Appreciate it.
It's Alabama. It's Tennessee. Tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. I'm still angry about that. I'm not going to get over it. Not going to get over it. Yeah, 9 o'clock. Oh, well. At least there's nothing else going on. You know, there's nothing. Didn't have to move the schedule around on Saturday and make sure that, you know.
Hard to miss the 9 o'clock game.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, weddings, events, plans, travel. You're usually where you're going to be by 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Or can get there quickly, right?
Exactly.
Good point by you.
You and John going to be out at Elgmont Exchange.
Oh, right? You're not coming?
I don't know yet.
I thought
I might be.
You just said, you know, you don't have plans and you can make anything. Now you're backing off that.
Well, I have some plans earlier. I hope to be, but
I do too.
I don't want to bait and switch.
That's the beauty of the late game. The early plans are over with.
I don't want to bait and switch the listeners. I only want to mention exactly who's going to be there, so that
you guys.
Be there.
I might be there.
Another might be there. Okay.
I will not be.
You know what? I'm a little upset that you're not going to be there, but thank you for just the commitment of one way or the other.
You know what? I'll be here. I will be here, and I'm probably going to fire that Periscope up as soon as this game starts.
What?
We were talking about it.
Voluntary action as it happens.
We might just go as it happens. Kind of give you a breakdown.
But John's not going to be here.
John can come later.
Seems a little.
Maybe just try it. Maybe just at halftime.
Yeah.
Just start.
Maybe, halftime.
Maybe the beginning of halftime.
Maybe.
Maybe you could go Russell's halftime Periscope right into voluntary action.
I'll talk with John.
I don't think anybody's
going to
be watching you guys when the game starts.
One way to find out.
I mean, I guess you could have the game on mute and have you guys on the.
I mean, we might be tapping into uncharted waters. It might do actually better than just after the game. Who knows?
Well, they're not exactly uncharted. Barstool does this. The watch the guys watch the game.
Yeah.
Think. The only thing is, it's kind of tough because you're on camera, but we can't show the game.
Well, I don't think they're allowed to show the games either.
They're not.
Okay.
Saying RTV is behind.
Well, it's great for Davey. It's just bad for everybody else.
Maybe they can come sit back there with you.
Well, usually most people are watching it on their phone and they got the game going on at the same time.
I don't think you understand what I'm saying.
We're talking about the people sitting where Houston's sitting now and where I'm sitting. It's hard to...
No, we just move the mics closer to the sides and they just kind of turn. We've done this before.
All right.
During the show. Like the actual voluntary reaction, watching other games.
Yeah.
As they unfold.
But just don't show the game on the Periscope.
No, I know.
Or ESPN will snipe us right down.
Already discussed that, Nate and I.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't privy to such a conversation. Thank you, Dave.
Well, you got to be here.
Okay.
You know, like show up on time and... Yeah.
No.
Okay, train boy. How many times have you caught the train this year?
A lot. Yeah. How many times have I missed the show because of it?
How many times have I missed a show because of...
Okay, we don't need to keep score on the work behind the...
You were gone all summer. What are you talking about?
This should have been in the breaks podcast. Not
missed 2 days, and he's about to throw a fit. I had three people here.
Actually, wait. Billy was out that week, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was fall break. I blame the government.
Good job to us, Billy. Yeah, Billy went on vacation.
I know.
Let your people...
Because it was...
Vacation, man.
But if they didn't have that stupid full week fall break, he would have vacationed on some other variable time when everyone else at the station...
Back in my day, fall break was 2.5 days.
Back in my day, fall break was called Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Also 2 days. Anyway.
Yeah.
Have you gotten more excited about Alabama, Tennessee? Anything changed from yesterday to today? You get that one day closer? I mean, like last week, when I went from Thursday to Friday, I got a lot more fired up. I was like, oh, yeah, we're almost there. Game day, baby. Let's go. This week.
I just felt good about the Mississippi State game from the jump.
Yeah.
What can I say? I mean, I was the only guy on the show to predict Tennessee to win.
It's true.
So,
it's true.
I mean, I put my money where my mouth was.
We'll see if you go back to the well this week.
Probably not. You're going to pick on this.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to.
Although there was an interesting note or statement, and I can't remember where I saw it. I don't remember if one of you guys put this in the rundown or not. But apparently, I think it was someone with ESPN or SEC Network was talking to some Tennessee players, and they said something along the lines of, and I don't know why you'd say this, this doesn't look like an Alabama team that can win a national championship.
Oh.
I guess as they were... watching film this week and, you know, some guys who have seen them the last 2 years, they don't see the same, which is, again, not to take too much credit away from anybody else and put it on myself, but I have been saying that this Alabama defense is not the Alabama defenses that we've seen in the last, I don't know, half decade. Offense is spectacular, especially the passing game, but they have struggled to run the ball, and you just wonder if there's a team that can cover and deliver a good pass rush, if this is the type of Alabama team that could stop a really good offense and kind of, you know, be one-dimensional in the pass game and still turn yards and points up against a good team. But I thought it was weird that any Tennessee player would say, you know, this doesn't look like a very good Alabama team.
Well, I want to know who said that. Darrell Taylor said, and this is the lead, like in the ESPN headline section of the college football page, this is the lead little blurb. Article. It means everything to me, man. It's a cigar game. Whoever wins gets to smoke that cigar, and we ain't never got...
Wow, we've got some really dry, awful, nasty cigars lying around over there.
So that's what we're looking to go do. We're looking to go play and looking to go win. The headline that ESPN ran was, Bama win, quote, means everything to me. Which... frustrates. I feel bad for Darrell Taylor that he's not on a better team where there's a better chance of that happening.
Well, in fairness, not many teams in the SEC or in general beat Alabama. But I yeah.
But I feel like he's one of the few players on this team that if all the players were like at his level or above, they would be.
He did great out the highest against Mississippi
State.
Like,
he is one of those guys.
Yeah, he and Nigel Warrior were right there.
Probably be in the conversation for Alabama's rotation at
Honestly, this year he'd probably be a significant player for them. They need linebackers slash, you know, rush
ends. Know if he would start or anything, but he's one of the guys. I mean, I think we have some players at some other spots where it's like, yeah, no chance.
Yeah, yeah. So, quite a few, actually. It was actually Stuart Mandel that tweeted out that comment I was mentioning.
Okay.
This is the exact tweet. The most interesting moment of UCLA Stanford was when Molly McGrath was plugging the Tennessee-Alabama game. She said she talked to a couple of Vols players who said, quote, this doesn't look like an Alabama team that can win a national championship.
It's a very odd flex by our guys.
Is it like one of those situations?
Yeah, we suck, but you're not as good as you think you are.
Do they do the where they hide the face and they pitch the voice way down low to where you don't know who it is so they don't get killed on Saturday?
I just don't think this is an Alabama team that could win a championship.
Yeah, it's like a gang member who just kind of went against the former gang, and they're like, hey, man, we can't reveal this person's identity because they will get
killed. Yeah, he's got the bandana and then the hat pulled real low. Why did you leave the cartel?
I just got sick of the lying and the killing.
Oh, thank you. A good man, turning his life around.
We'll call him Bob for this conversation.
We'll call him Bob. Yeah, but weird flex. Also, it's weird that Mandel said that was the most interesting part of the UCLA-Stanford game. I didn't watch it, so maybe it was awful.
Who won it?
I couldn't tell you.
Like UCLA, 34-16, got the big win on the road.
What happened to Stanford?
Seriously.
Yikes.
I think like all their offensive linemen are injured, and their offensive line is usually the strength of the team.
That's very true.
KJ Costello did not play either, I don't believe.
He didn't play, period?
Jack West went 15 of 32.
Jack West?
For 143 yards.
I don't know why. That's like the easiest but kind of cool name. Jack West.
Seems like a very common name, like a Hollywood writer.
I was going to say, doesn't it seem like a Western movie? Like, oh, it's a Jack West is coming into town. Like a bad Western. I'm Jack West. Gunslinger, you know. Was he a gunslinger? I guess not if they lost like that.
Mm-hmm. They threw it more times than they ran it. I mean, Jack Stanford, West. That's pretty nuts. Mm-hmm. They couldn't run it at all. Their leading rusher had 13 carries.
Brad Pitt is Jack West,
for 34 yards, 2.6 yards a carry.
In a world where a man travels east, but is named West.
Tumbleweed.
Tumbleweed. Gotta have a tumbleweed. Where are my tumbleweeds? Get my tumbleweeds in here. Jack West.
Not a good night for Stanford. I mean,
Mighty have fallen.
Jack West being a Pac-12 quarterback is pretty incredible, though. I'm with you. UCLA's quarterback's name was Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Yeah. Thompson Robinson, all last hyphenated name.
Dorian Thompson Robinson. That's NNN. Oh, that would be my nickname for him. Just NNN.
DTR.
DTR? Oh, DTR sounds good.
34-16.
But the big news from last night.
Huh.
And I hope John Akery's not listening yet.
Oh, man.
Thursday night football started out as a really good game, but going into the game, kind of a big deal. Pat Mahomes nursing a sprained, well, I don't know if they called it sprained, a tweaked ankle after last week's game. They showed the play. Didn't look very good, but in warm-ups, thought he looked all right. But unfortunately, have they officially said it was a dislocated kneecap?
A source did, but not officially.
Travis Kelce on Mahomes said, quote, his knee didn't even look like a knee.
The Fox Sports Knoxville medical expert.
It's usually bad.
Walked through the room. I was like, oh, they're like, it looks like they're popping his knee back in.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, he dislocated his knee. And she's like, well, you don't really dislocate your knee. You probably dislocate his kneecap. Boom.
Yeah,
done.
Dislocated kneecap.
There you go.
I think it's
patella dislocation.
I was going to say, I think it's something to do with the patella. I did know that.
Yeah.
I did know that. You beat me to it and made me look like I didn't know, maybe, but I did know.
It has
something to do with the patellar tendon.
I believe you.
Very sad. Pat Mahomes was kind of on a heater, too. He was 10 of 11, 76 yards and a touchdown, and he was trying to QB sneak his way into the end zone when I didn't even see any contact. It was a very weird-looking play. And then
people falling on it in the back. Like,
yeah,
like
there was
one of
that.
The Chiefs guys was like burying a defensive lineman, and I don't know.
Just, I think, unfortunately, just one of those fluke things. Matt Moore comes in for the Chiefs, goes 10 of 19, throws another touchdown. Chiefs win 30-6.
On the road at Denver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where the
Titans go.
I was going to say, where the Titans just lost and did not score at all. In fairness,
it's fine.
Denver coming off a short rest.
Yeah, yeah. The Titans wore them out.
Chiefs also, however, coming off short rest.
It's like when you go to open a jar and you can't quite get it, so you hand it to somebody else and they just get it immediately. And you're like, I loosened
it up for you. Yeah. So
three games, 13 days.
It's always the third person that gets the jar open. Really?
Who was the? What was the coach earlier this year? Something about four games. Was it? Is it Houston?
Was it 4-19?
Four. It might have been less than 19. It was something crazy. It was like four games in 16 days. I don't even know how it's possible. They said it, and I just laughed because I was like, "Oh, this is very Butch Jones, Dana Holgorsen, very Butch Jones-esque." At least I think that's what it was. But it was apparently one more game, but still not ample time.
Yeah.
It is weird to me that we continue to allow this to happen as we learn more and more about the impact the game of football has on the human body, that we're still willing, especially in college, to put that many games that close together for anybody. I don't know.
Well, that's why the 17-game schedule may be the perfect solution to some injuries, because you would get the bye before.
It's always before the Thursday night game, right?
Well, it would make sense for that to be.
Well, you always get the long week after the Thursday night game. I do think it would be wise for the NFL to make the Thursday night game come off of the bye week. And then, I mean, it's that way you're really getting, it's almost like an extra week in there, really, if you do it that way, which I just think that makes sense.
I mean, not really. Like, the Thursday gets moved up, so you get a week and a half before, a week and a half after, instead of 2 weeks, 1 week.
Right. I guess I like that idea better than, because then later you're not sandwiching it, you know, when you don't need to.
Yeah.
And then you still get the, just a regular
bye
week. As well.
So you get that double. They need to do
and
that.
And the bonus game.
Yeah. Because
less preseason. BS.
Players seem to hate the Thursday night game when they sandwich them in there like that. And I think what the league doesn't want more than anything is quarterback injuries to your studs. This will probably be the linchpin for that move. I mean, this is great evidence to the, hey, our guys need more than 3 days rest. This just doesn't make a lot of sense. Because you can't, if you play Sunday, you don't get, I don't know how they said 3 days rest. Like, no, he's got practice and film. Like, you're not exactly just laid up on the couch or going into the training room. Like, you still have to get ready for this game. And he looked like he was ready. Like I said, he started 10 of 11, 76 yards in the touchdown. The touchdown was to Mecole Hardman, who I thought looked really good in the return game. Only had two catches, 28 yards, but he did have the 21-yard touchdown. And then credit to Matt Moore when he got in. He was just like, oh, Tyreek Hill's back? Yeah, I'm just going to try to find that guy. Three catches, 74 yards in the touchdown in Tyreek Hill's first game since week one?
No, he played last week.
Yeah, played last week.
He had a touchdown against the Ravens. Or, sorry, not, was it the Ravens?
No. He scored last week.
He scored last week?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he did like a backflip in the end zone. It was pretty impressive.
I could have sworn I saw a graphic on the game last night that said first game back since week one.
It might have been Texans.
No, he played last week.
Shouts out to that graphic. Making me look like an idiot.
There was a graphic that said he had zero catches at one point. I think he got one maybe from
He had 10 targets last week. What the hell? NFL Network? Come on. I do a radio show. I have to trust you.
Maybe his first away game?
First game.
Since he was hurt?
Did he start last week?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Did he started?
Yeah. Why wouldn't he start?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember what the damn graphic said. Don't you shut up.
Sorry.
That's not on me.
It's not.
I guess I could have fact checked. Trust but verify, right?
I mean, if the graphic really said that.
I swear it did. I don't know. Why else would I have said that?
I don't know. I'm not you. I'm not in your headspace.
John Akre was listening. I'm sorry, buddy.
Big Chiefs guy.
Big Chiefs guy.
Yeah.
He said we'll find out more on the MRI today. Apparently
he can play through it, sort of, but
risk of injury, and it's way more likely to dislocate again. I mean, they have special braces to kind of keep everything nice and tight there that aren't, like, crazy bulky. But I thought, you know, there's
that's probably for more like just walking to work, sitting at your desk, you know. Those type of things.
I don't think so. But the problem is, like, Mahomes, look, he's not Lamar Jackson, but he is a very mobile quarterback. Like, he likes to move the pocket. He likes to scramble around. He's had, who was the touchdown against earlier this year where he runs backwards forever and then finally cocks it open for a touchdown? Like, the guy's a magician. So him with a loose wheel, probably not what you want. So the question is, how long can you sit him and still have a pretty good shot when he gets back of making the playoffs? It was good that they won last night. Obviously, that helps. But
it almost looked like he was pushing, you know, obviously against the ground, trying to keep his feet moving. And, like, a bunch of the other guys that were all kind of falling in that way, like, their legs, it looked like one of the other guys' legs just kind of, like, hit his knee from the side.
Like, knee to knee?
Yeah, and it just kind of, like from the side, just and it just kind of squeezed everything. Like,
yeah.
Like, his right knee just kind of got squeezed into everything. Yeah. And that, probably that first hit, and just popped it out of there.
Still seems like a very fluky way for that to happen.
Yeah.
On a QB sneak. I don't remember the last time a quarterback got hurt on a QB sneak.
Somebody had, like, got the
I could see, like, a concussion.
Like, injured their foot on a QB sneak. I remember
Liz
that.
Liz Frank?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, really? Like, that
makes
so
sense.
Hard,
yeah, yeah. I could see
trying
that.
Trying to churn so hard that they injured their foot.
Weird injury. It was like bad for the NFL.
I think it was John
Casey. And a lot
Casey.
Of fantasy teams.
John Casey, the old left-footed field goal kicker, he just kicked a ball in practice one day, and his kneecap just snapped like a cookie.
Well, we remember Teddy Bridgewater's injury.
Yeah, just
the random, what do they call that?
I don't know.
Sublocation or something? Like, basically his leg turned into a car antenna and just kind of collapsed in on itself. Almost lost the leg, they said. I've been there, Teddy. Nice rebound by you to keep the leg and be a star.
You're comparing your brown recluse bite to
I
a
just
traumatic
said,
knee
well,
injury.
What do you think? You don't think a brown recluse bite is a traumatic knee injury?
I mean, it wasn't traumatic at first. You said you thought it was a mosquito bite.
Right. And then the
he
back
broke it as soon as that happened. He's just looking at his leg laying over there on the side.
Yeah, but then I woke up one morning and the back of my knee was the color of this wall here, bud. And swollen and bleeding.
Uh-huh.
It's I'll traumatic.
Check with the judges,
it's traumatic for
not
an,
the same thing.
For an 11-year-old, it's traumatic.
Could you imagine waking up?
Okay, you're playing the kid card now.
Your knee be black.
All right.
Yeah, hey, thank you, Billy.
I'd be freaking out.
And not frostbite? Which would be traumatic in and of itself.
Did
but
it hurt?
No.
Yeah, I bet
at
it
that
hurt.
Point, yeah, it hurt.
I bet it hurt to move.
Yeah, and when I would stand up in the mornings after laying down, it would pop.
Oh,
and so then I'd have stuff, you know,
oozing out.
Yeah, a mix of, you know, pus and blood and probably venom. It was a vicious attack by an animal. I think he bit me twice. So two bites.
Twice.
There was two very distinct marks.
Hate to say it.
It was ugly. I don't know why we didn't take a single picture either. I don't know why we didn't.
I know.
We didn't have.
Because you were scared.
Well, we didn't have camera phones back then, and I don't even know if we had
like
a camera.
Quit sheeping it up for him, Billy.
He's not sheeping. He's telling the truth that you refuse to listen to. All I'm saying is I know what it's like to almost lose your leg and make a comeback.
Yeah, big ups to you.
Thanks, Billy. Brown recluse, Billy.
Dollar, parking a holler neath the mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight, make a little loving.
Take it back.
Bama Billy's doing hand motions to this.
The Bama hand motions.
No, we have our own version.
We do?
Yeah, instead of beer.
Moonshine?
Drink a little Truly.
No. So this is like a fan run.
A fan
version.
Run. Big light.
Instead of F Auburn, you say Bama, Kentucky, and Vandy, too. Instead of Roll Tide, obviously, you say Go Vols.
Roll damn balls.
You can say that.
Well, I can't say that.
It felt okay, not awful, but not.
Roll? Well, they're the only team that can get on a roll?
You said Roll Damn Vols.
Yeah, I did.
So, like, for two-thirds of it, just didn't sound right.
Who's the real Bama fan in the room?
You. I don't know what. I don't know how I get.
I've never said anything like that.
I know, because you're a Bama fan. You just say the T word.
Never, the T word. Never said that either.
Don't lie to me.
We were talking about the whole, I think it was Matt that called in yesterday and said, remember when Mark Richt, they just celebrated the touchdown, like the whole team's like, we just need to do something. We need to put some fire back into the rivalry. Like, make a statement, do something different. And we got a tweet that was like, remember when Butch called them the red team? Yeah, that went well. Of course, you know, like a lot of things Butch Jones, it kind of fell flat. Kind of like his Rocky Top chants and Brick by Bricks and all that good stuff.
Have you seen all of the sacrifices people have posted that they're willing to make if Tennessee were to get the win tomorrow?
I've heard yours.
Yeah, what's that? What's
spicy chip and foot massages for everyone here.
Yep. Everyone on the show gets a foot massage from me. And we all will eat one of the spiciest chips.
What?
It was a show thing. You were the one talking to the guy. He wants you to.
No.
Yeah, he tagged me. Yeah, exactly. If you were tagged, you're in. Congrats to everybody for being tagged. I don't know what you guys are worried about.
I have a question.
Seriously.
Like, you guys are crying. Like, oh, if especially Bama Billy.
I have a question.
Can you just imagine that happening? Like, imagine.
Wouldn't it be? You would be ready to eat that chip. To make sure you're not dreaming. It's like pinching yourself. But no, like people are saying they're getting, you know, tattoos of Pruitt's face on their rear end. And, you know, they're going to, I don't know, move to God knows where. I mean, there's a lot of people
move?
Saying.
Why would you move?
I don't know. Maybe they want to get back. I'll move back to Tennessee. Oh, okay. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of bets on the line.
Can I give Bear my foot rub if Tennessee wins?
You can give him a foot rub, yeah.
No. Can I give him my foot rub?
No, this show only. He works in the mornings. He can't come in for a foot rub.
You could do his foot rub during the drive.
I'm not coming in late for a foot rub in the afternoon.
I mean, if we beat Alabama.
Yeah, okay, I'll give Bear one too. But no more. I can't give him out 9 foot rubs a day.
So it's just 4 now. You're just 4 foot rubs. That's a nice alliteration to it. 4 foot rubs for an Alabama. It'd be totally worth it.
I just said I'd give 4 foot rubs and eat a chip.
Yeah.
I'm in.
All right. But, Billy, you won't eat the chip?
If Tennessee beats, he'll be so distraught.
I'll eat the chip.
All right.
Davey, you going to eat the chip if Tennessee beats Alabama? That's a thumbs up from Davey, for those who didn't see it.
I feel like Davey would eat a whole bag of chips.
Well, it's one chip in the bag. It's just a tiny bag. True. It's like a pouch. True. So I don't think you would want to do that. I think it might kill you.
Is that the most genius chip company plan? Like, hey, I would say yes. One chip per bag. This is brilliant.
I would say yes, but how many of those are you really selling?
Yeah, good point.
It's not like you're making a ton of cash.
Yeah, it's not like the whole rack at the grocery
you'd have
store.
To sell,
full of your...
You'd have to sell other items, too, mm-hmm. and that's like your novelty. But we have other really good chips that you should get. You know. That's what I would think.
Gotcha.
But watching Shaq eat that thing, it'd be so worth it if Tennessee beat Bama, though.
I watched a father and a daughter do it, and he would not breathe in. Like, he was just breathing through his nose.
Because the air hurt it so bad?
So the air wouldn't hit the chip hotness in his mouth.
Have you seen the video from a few years ago of those two girls eating the ghost pepper?
They had to go to the hospital.
Yeah. It was bad. Because they were like, oh, it'll be spicy. They had no idea the level of spice in a ghost pepper. So they just pop them and start chewing. And at first, they're kind of like, and then they just both, it looks like they couldn't breathe. In fact, the medical team shows up and is like giving them oxygen and dumping milk down their throat and everything. It looked pretty scary.
Well, Shaq, doesn't he drink the water?
Awful idea.
And that he goes, the water made it worse.
Water makes it infinitely worse. It just spreads all the oil around.
They were recapping it in the video I watched, and he said, yeah, 2% milk saved my life.
2% milk. Whole milk probably better, but yeah. You need something that'll coat everything and then trap the oil as it goes down your esophagus. I get heartburn though. I don't know. That might really light me up. It's okay though. Go
but
Vols.
You have beaten Alabama, so it won't matter.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Worth it. Because then we're going bowling, Then we're gonna win maybe 8 games. You know, South Carolina did it. Beat Georgia.
If you beat Alabama, you're still in play for the East, right?
Oh, yeah.
You'll win the East, probably.
Probably.
Yeah? Even without the tiebreakers on the...
If you beat Alabama.
Georgia and Florida, they've already dropped one. One's definitely going to drop another one to the other one. And then on...
It comes down to maybe that Auburn-Georgia game. You need all the... You need yourself to have made up the game by winning your two West games, and they each drop a West game. All Florida's already lost to LSU. And
yeah. And then one of them loses to each other, so then you would just need one more.
Yeah.
And
from each team.
They both still have to play Missouri.
We'd find some way to drop the Missouri game.
Stop
it.
What are you doing? Shut up. We're talking about the dream.
Davey, this is in a world.
Yeah, we're in a world. We are in a world.
It'd come crashing back down to reality real quick.
I was a kid last time Tennessee beat Alabama.
I think everybody was. Like, whatever stage of life you're in now, you were a kid the last time Tennessee beat Alabama. Or you were not in existence. The last time we did it, it was a pretty good game. Really. You got down pretty big and then made a really awesome comeback in the second half, third quarter, fourth quarter. And then I believe the game-winning touchdown was Arian Foster over the top. Stuck the ball over the plane. Touchdown. Win. I don't remember who the coach was for them that year. One of those one-year dudes, probably.
Nick Saban said, "This is a special game for a lot of folks around here."
Butch.
"The rivalry with Tennessee is a special one for a lot of people in Alabama, and it's been one of the best in college football through the years."
I have a question.
Mike Shula.
You've played Alabama every year since 1944, I believe. Just going on that rivalry.
That was who the coach was, usually.
It was Shula that year?
Yep.
What's your question, Chris?
Did you see Nick Saban say that Butch Jones has had opportunities to get jobs elsewhere and turn them down?
I did see that. And then I saw the immediate question from almost every person that replied, tweeted back to that line of thinking. It was the first question I thought of. Doesn't this affect his buyout payments? Doesn't he have an obligation to find, I believe this is correct, quote, comparable occupational work?
Employment, I believe.
That's redundant, but you get what I'm saying? Comparable employment?
It would.
Is an intern at Alabama comparable to the head football coach at Tennessee? I don't think so. Is $36,000? Maybe it was less. $26,000, whatever it was. Comparable to $4 million? Come on.
I read that and I immediately was just thinking, wait. He's turned down jobs? Any job. I don't even know legally how he's allowed to say no thank you when, as you mentioned, the contract, you are obligated to seek comparable employment,
Davey,
to offset the buyout for Tennessee. Like, if you get offered a job, I mean, he interviewed and accepted, allegedly, the tight ends position at Maryland, and then that fell through. I'm wondering, did he just say, I changed my mind. I want Tennessee to pay me out before I look for a new job.
Davey, can you put your lawyer hat on for a second? Would him not having, he's basically an assistant coach, right? So would that...
Well, you could make that argument.
Right. Is that not what is that not the argument his camp would make? Is he's basically...
But he's making $35,000. The average salary for an assistant coach in the SEC is at least what? I mean, average is probably $400,000.
That would be part of his argument. Until this just came out, I thought, well, no one's really said that he's turned out. Like, there's been rumors of that.
Right,
but I think you'd
have
to have more proof than just, there was a contract that they had created. It's just like, all right, Butch, time to sign this. It makes you a member of the Maryland coaching staff. But right now, I guess they could probably, if you wanted to, and say this was something where Tennessee wanted to bring some sort of civil action that he has not followed through on his end of the buyout agreement and making sure that he is seeking comparable employment. but they're like, or Mike Locksley could have been like, well, we thought about giving him the tight ends position, but we decided to go in another direction.
But
the university, it's on the university to prove that he's turned these offers down.
I mean, Saban just did it. Like, he just said, yeah, he's had opportunities and has turned them down to stay at Alabama.
Well, then they would have to get Nick Saban to go before
we
court.
I know, but isn't that what we should be doing?
Yeah, sue him.
That's
right
what I'm
now.
Saying. Like, yes, like
quit
I get
sending
that,
the checks.
I get that he might just be like mouthpiece it here, but should we not at least pursue this if Butch Jones is out there saying, ha ha ha, yeah, I'm interviewing for jobs. I'm not gonna take any. I don't know what the exact rule is, but it seems like we know the guy could be coaching somewhere other than interning at Alabama. Like, I'm not saying he's a good coach. In fact, I'm saying the opposite. But he could be a wide receivers coach somewhere, a tight ends coach somewhere, probably an offensive coordinator at a D2 school somewhere.
When did Saban make that comment? Was that yesterday?
2 days ago, I think.
2 days ago? Yeah. Okay. If I'm Tennessee, and they're obviously should be doing their due diligence here to help their bottom dollar.
You would weigh like court. Sometimes it's like, well, it's just not worth fighting that in court. But like you're paying him a boatload of cash like every month. I feel like you could get this thing pretty far into the court system and still be ahead of your financial.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, balance sheet.
John actually texted or tweeted at me the other day asking like, wouldn't there be a legal ramifications for this? And I didn't know at the time Saban had said that he was turning down other offers. But yeah, I mean, at this point, like with what you got to go on for. Saban saying he's turning down chances to be an assistant coach at the Division I level, then I would probably.
And I don't know what the exact rule is in the contract. Like, you can't turn down a job if you get offered. Like, obviously, if he doesn't, and I'm thinking if he's not a crook, like, if it's just not a good fit or if he's waiting for a bigger, better job, I get that. But. Like, does Butch Jones not seem like the vindictive type who would just say, oh, yeah, none of these really fit what I wanted to do, and then the minute the buyout's done, he'll zip over and take a job that he could have had 2 years ago?
Here's everything Saban said. He said most of the stuff is behind – he's talking about what Butch Jones does for them. He said most of the stuff is behind the scenes. Film study, doing administrative-type work. He always does what do we need to do on offense for me, in his opinion, in terms of improving – based on film study and things like that. His role has always sort of been that. He's done a really, really good job of it. He's a great person and a great guy to have in your organization. And then he said, Butch had job opportunities after last year, and he decided he wanted to stay here. I think it's obviously an advantage when you have continuity in your program with the people that you have in the organization, and yada, yada, yada.
Again, I'm not trying to take up for Butch here, but so he didn't turn down jobs. He just had opportunities and decided to stay at Alabama.
But if you have opportunities and you decide to stay here.
Is that not breaking the contract?
I don't understand.
The language of the contract.
If he was an actual on-field paid coach, even the lowest one on the totem pole, I wouldn't think there's a problem with this.
Right.
But he's not technically coaching. He's an analyst.
And the whole point of this is like the idea is that you can't just do nothing and collect the check from Tennessee. Like, you have to be out kind of looking for a job, comparable employment. And I'm just, my point is, an internship at Alabama making $35,000 a year is not.
It's a different category.
Especially when you can, I guess the whole point is, like, you have to, if you're Butch Jones, and this is the way I kind of have always understood these contracts, you have to seek employment as if you are making $0 from Tennessee. He's not doing that. He's not. He's like, oh, I make $250,000 a month from Tennessee. Why would I not? Why would I go out and look for another job when I can just sit here at Alabama, learn? Tennessee pays me off, and then I go get a job.
Yeah, he's not.
And then Tennessee then doesn't get to recoup any of that money.
I would want to see the full contract or read the exact language before I rendered a final decision. But based off what I have seen, if it is true that he's had the opportunities and he specifically turned them down, knowing he would make hundreds of thousands of dollars more, then I could see where Tennessee
that's
would
the whole
likely
point. Like,
have a case.
Like, that's the whole point, is that he can't just continue to stick it to Tennessee.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he's doing.
He could. I mean, he could. I'm just trying to weigh both sides.
Don't also, defend him. Don't you do it.
How much does the tight ends coach at Maryland make?
Probably $300,000.
What I was going to say is he could say, I'm trying to help them out in the long run by learning more to where I would be a better coach and get a better job to help offset the buyout in the long run.
I mean, yeah, he could argue against it, but, I mean, basically, like...
But then at that point, if I'm Tennessee, I'm thinking, okay, well, then when that happens, you need to pay us back for your time at Alabama.
In a civil suit, the standard of proof would be preponderance of the evidence, which means, like, 51% or more. If you're like, all right, he's done it,
yeah.
Then
I think Tennessee could win that.
They would say, all right, Tennessee, yeah, you're...
I've got another thought. We'll come back with that on the flip side, because I absolutely agree with you, Houston. I think Butch Jones would do whatever he thought would be bad for Tennessee. I think he is vindictive and is that much of a scumbag. I don't care.
I'm sure he's giggling about it behind the scenes.
Yeah, I don't care what Nick Saban says about him being a great guy. That's a bunch of baloney.
Spend my dollar, park in a holler neath the mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight, make a little loving. A little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line.
Final segment.
It's my life. Oh, so
again?
Going all in. Taking it back.
It's our song now?
It's our song.
It'd help if we'd win this football
Did
game.
Did you forget that you had already played it today?
Nope.
I think he just wanted to get the hand gesture from whoever
tweeted. A little
you.
Birdie just told me that Butch Jones allegedly turned down the Colorado head coaching job this past year because he wanted to stay on the East Coast. That, my friends, does not qualify based on the words of the contract.
Here's my thing with this whole deal. If he was a football coach anywhere, then I would assume that he would be safe from any type of, you know, argument on this topic. But he's not a football coach.
No.
He is an offensive analyst slash, and his job category is intern. Like, and even if it's not anymore, even if we don't have that right now in year two or whatever, he's still not a football. He is not on the Alabama football coaching staff. He, like, for the NCAA, he cannot recruit. He is not
he
classified.
Can't coach during practice.
As
like,
a coach.
He cannot help.
So basically, I mean, if his contract says he has to seek employment for a specific category, and he's saying, well, I seeked it, I just said no to every time they offered me the job, to me, that is a blatant violation of the contract. And here's my question, Davey. Tennessee doesn't have to sue him. They can just quit sending the check and send him a letter, right? And say, we have determined that in our opinion, you are not upholding your end of the contract, so we are not upholding our end of the contract. You have to sue us. Go!
Not bad.
You can do that. I mean, like there's...
It's not like they can throw the University of Tennessee in jail.
No, but if the university does think they're going to lose, then they would be... required to likely pay Butch's attorney's fees.
Okay, but I think they'd win.
I would need to read the whole contract. I know we're just kind of going speculating off of certain things.
I need Rutgers to just go ahead and hire him. Just burn it down.
Some people had the screenshots. Oh, we just need to find those. There's a screenshot going around of that paragraph. It's not that hard.
Yeah, well, I know, but I mean, there's other things there. There could have been other addendums to the contract. I know this is what people think. You could, I mean, put in an open records request, but I just, before I make a final judgment, want to make sure I have everything in front of me. You did mention the Rutgers thing, Houston. Apparently, Joe Moorhead's the front runner for that position.
I saw that. Probably got real sick of, maybe that's why Tennessee beats Mississippi State. He was too busy focusing on being a Scarlet Knight.
But as it relates to Butch, I am interested to see. I mean, like, this is one of those things I don't expect the university to actually
bottom line, he could be a coach somewhere right now, and he's not, but by choice.
I would say so, yeah, like just
by choice.
Taking everything into account, I would say I find it hard to believe that there's not a assistant coaching position or even a head coaching position at a lower level school.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there is, at least it exists.
Say, hey, we're offering you the job now. Again, like, you could say people would just be like, yeah, we thought about offering him, and we didn't. Or
it's not what Saban said. It said turn down opportunities.
I get that. I would like to see something in writing.
Contract negotiations before the job is taken is never in writing.
Typically, yes.
I would put the burden back on Butch Jones.
I would be like, hey,
we're not paying. Your people to the stand and bring your guy that said, yeah, we interviewed him, but we didn't like him.
I did see a pretty good point, though. Like, someone was like, if you do that to a coach, the odds of you attracting a good coach down the road, pretty low. Not to mention, it is Jimmy Sexton who represents, like, every coach. And so you're kind of going at him.
I mean, it is on the university to prove it. Why? So, like, even – what do you mean, why? That's the way these things go. If, like, because going back to – if they were to follow the system and they're just like, yeah, we think you had an offer, we're just going to stop sending you the buyout money.
Mm-hmm.
They're technically in breach at that point.
Not if he's not upholding his end of the contract.
But they have to prove, like, there's got to be proof on that side.
Save and prove that.
I just clip out the newspaper article.
That's hearsay.
Well, then you get to depose Nick Saban. What were you talking about here? Why'd you say that? That's what I'm saying. I think Saban knows, and he's ratting out Butch Jones to get him out of Alabama.
That's a good point.
He's like, boom, ha-ha. Now he has to go take another job. Otherwise, he's going to be forced to stop accepting a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Nick Saban, VFL. I'm just saying he's saving his money, potentially.
Well,
he just wants Butch gone.
He wanted to cost Tennessee money, so he brought Butch Jones in. But now that Butch Jones has driven him so nuts, he's like, you know what? Screw it. It doesn't matter anymore.
It just seems like Butch is riding a loophole here. Like,
yeah, he is. He absolutely is.
It's a joke.
He absolutely is. Look, I used to be on the side of, no, come on. That can't be that nuts. And then Butch Jones did all the freaking crap here at Tennessee that you couldn't believe.
Well, that's the thing. I think we could have fired him with cause, but you don't want to do that.
It's like, hey, the rumor is one player punched another player, and the coach said he fell in a helmet. No, that would never happen. People wouldn't even write that in the script of, a Varsity Blues remake about college football. That actually happened.
No, that was a real thing. I just want the money, for the university.
Yeah.
We need to go get more orange pants. Maybe orange white britches. Cleats. Maybe an alternate uni. We could afford it probably if we weren't having to pay that idiot. It just makes me sick. It's just like the first year he's there, he's in the locker room lighting up the cigar, like, ha ha, yeah, I'm on the winning team now. It's like, yeah, but these are all your people that you recruited that you beat. Like, this is your fault. He's so just criminally unaware.
Mm-hmm.
Of how dumb he looks and is all the time. It's really remarkable. It's sad, really.
Yep. We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number two of the program as we get you set for the weekend. It's the third Saturday in October, 9 o'clock kick tomorrow night. Alabama and Tennessee.